Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. And producing for Jake today is Byron. Happy birthday, Jake. It's his 40th birthday. Well deserved. You don't turn 40 but once. All right. Just another day for me these days. All right. Let's go up to Lake Conroe on just another day and talk to our good friend, the fish dude, Richard Tosh. Hey, Richard, what's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I couldn't be better. It's all good, man. We're rolling.
I hear you. I'll tell you what, it looks like going to be another nice day anyway. There ain't no doubt.
You had a tough bite on them hybrids yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. That dang wind was getting it. It started kicking up pretty dang hard. I mean, when we first started, it wasn't bad. But then after a little bit, but we had probably about 30 wake boats around us too. So
that kind of
makes things rock and roll a little bit. So yeah, them dang old
wakeboard boats. They call them a wake boat for a reason. They can put out a wake, man.
You ain't kidding though. I'll tell you what, whoever figured out how to fill them boats half full of water and then make them run them big wakes like that, they need to be shot.
Yeah, they do.
I'll tell you what, they're not
a friend of the fishermen at all, are they?
Oh my goodness, no. And then, and not even if you're just out there running around. I mean, unless you got a big boat, because you'll hit one of those waves rolling through after they've been by, and it's like, good night, that thing it'll launch you in a second. I mean, we were sitting down there messing with them hybrids a little bit, and had one bite right off the bat, and then we're sitting there, and that wind picked up, and them wake boats was running around, and then here come a bass boat running through there. I said, look at there. He didn't come clean out the water. And I mean, you can see his propeller flying through there. It's like, uh-huh. That tells you them wake boats are getting after it. So, but, I mean, that's the thing. You'll launch a boat in a second with those things around. But, I mean, it's we're going to try the hybrids again this morning. It's calmer out anyway, so. And the wake boats ain't going to make it out till probably about 10 or 11. And then once they get out.
Sleeping off hangovers.
That's it. You ain't kidding. You know, I tell people that all the time because everybody says, I don't want to be on Conroe on the weekend because it's always busy. Well, it is after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
After 11, that's if you're going to go fishing, you can fish in the morning. And then, you know, I'm fishing all day today because this time of year, it's not really that bad. I mean, it's we just got to. I've got a nice weekend here, so everybody's deciding to get out, but closer to summer, so everybody's, you know, they're bringing the kids out, and they're tubing, and they're just swimming and all kinds of different stuff, and that's fine, too. But then, like I say, them wake boats, boy, they kill me, especially when they're out here in January. It's like, good night.
Oh, boy.
Y'all don't, I know. I see them out here in wetsuits and all kinds of stuff, but that's, and dang catfish fired up pretty hard, too, yesterday.
How is your catfishing? I've known her for years. Real nice lady. She's probably going to come fishing with you. And she goes, you think Richard teach me how to throw a regular rod and reel? I said, well, sure he will. All you got to do is ask him. He'll teach you.
That's it. Oh, there ain't no doubt about that. I mean, that's one thing. Speaking of that, you know, there was a year. It's been several years ago. This lady kept saying, you know, my husband will not let me touch his bait casting rod. I said, why not? She said, I always backlash him. I said, well, just I'll teach you how to throw him better than he can. And within 30 minutes, she was casting that thing like nobody's business.
Women are easier to teach how to do something than men are. They listen. They're not hard-headed.
You're right.
They're receptive.
See, I tell people on the boat all the time, you know, if it's a family, say a husband, wife, and a couple of kids, or even just one kid, I'll tell the wife and the kid. I said, y'all gonna catch him? He's not, and he's gonna say why? I said, you know it all. See, these two don't. They're gonna listen and pay attention, and as long as you listen and pay attention to what I'm telling you, you're gonna do whether it's casting a rod, whether it's catching fish, you'll catch them. But most 90% of the men already know how to do it, though. And that, you know, whether they've ever done it before in their life, they already know. So you can't tell them nothing. And it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, I'll show you and I'll repeat the process over and over until you get it. But until you start really paying attention, you're not going to get it. Yeah. That's like catching those catfish. You know, it's with those catfish, it's so different than any other thing you've ever fished for, you know. I've had a lot of people compare it to walleye fishing. Well, I mean, I've never walleye fished, so I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
So, but I do know that whenever you're fishing with that stink bait like I use, it's a really light bite, and you really have to pay attention. And everybody wants to, you know, they want to be a bass fisherman. They want to set the hook and try to jerk their head off whenever they feel a bite. Well, you can't do that. Not the way these things do it. And I kind of explain it, and whether I know it's not correct, but it kind of helps people understand with that stink bait. Yeah, I've got it on a treble hook, and I got probably a quarter ounce of weight down there. And when those catfish are looking for it, they're tapping with their whiskers. So you're feeling them tap it. And as they get it lined up for their mouth, then they'll suck it in and you'll feel that resistance. When you feel the resistance, that's when you set the hook. Yeah. If you set the hook on those little bites, you're just going to waste.
You're just jerking it away from him.
That's all you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. You're pulling it away from them because those rascals are still trying to
just
find
wait
it.
Wait for them to take it in, then you come tight, rear up, reel him in.
That's right. That's it. It's game on then. But I'll tell you what, and now using cut bait or something like shad or something like that, it's a whole different ball game. You know, most of the time when you're doing that, you're catching blue cats or even yellow cats. And now when they hit it, they knock the fire out of it. They're gonna hit and run a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So you have to be paying attention to that bite and you know, lean into them after that. But the way I do that stink bait, it's just, you know, you wait on the resistance. You don't really, the bite's just telling you, here I am. You know, that's all he's doing. So here I am, you better be paying attention. And then once you start paying attention, you'll kind of gently raise your rod tip up. And as you raise it up, you'll see your rod tip either bend down or you'll feel that resistance pulling against you. When you feel that, it's game on. Jerk his dang old head off. But till you get that resistance on there, don't even waste your time, because that's all it is. You're just wasting time.
And most times, so, it'll just get heavy. That's all it does.
That's
it.
That's exactly right. It just get heavy on you. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, as long as people kind of pay attention to that stuff, boy, we'll haul them out. There ain't no doubt. And people always, I get some of these youngsters out here, oh, we can out-catch you. No, you can't. You can't out-catch me. There is no way you can out-catch me out here on the water. And I'll tell them, I'll catch you 2-1 on these things. And they'll say, no, you can't. And I said, yes, I'll do it too. And we'll sit there and they'll start counting. And sure enough, then they start getting real quiet. And it's like, okay, who's doing what?
Listen,
I mean, you got
to
realize.
Hey, you're in my office. You do as I say, buddy.
That's exactly right. You know, you can't compete against somebody that does it every day. You know?
No, you can't.
If you think you can, then you're sadly mistaken for the most part, because it's not going to happen. You know, I mean, that's just like getting down there. That's why I like saltwater fishing so much. You know, whenever I'm kind of vacationing, is because I learn more stuff down there from y'all than, I mean, I'm out here doing my thing every day, doing the same thing over and over, and I change up occasionally. Down there, I go down there, and I may learn a new knot. I may learn a new technique of catching fish. You know, there's no telling what I'm going to learn from other guys, and that's why I like going with other guides too. You know, because you learn from everyone, and that's the whole point of fishing in my book, is sit back and learn from everybody and learn from every situation you're in. That way you're prepared every time you get out there, no matter what. And so that's what I'm looking for every day. Just find something new and different. And like with hybrid fishing, you know, those hybrids, I tell people they always feed looking up. So if you got a bait below them, you're not going to catch them. You know, they'll come up 30 feet to eat a bait, but they won't go down 2 feet. You know, that's what's crazy about those hybrids. They just won't follow. They won't chase a bait down. They're always going to chase him up, no matter what.
You got time to talk some more, Richard, or you need to go?
I'm kind of. How are you breaking up there, brother? I can't hear you.
No, I said, do you have time to talk some more, or do you need to go?
I got. For some reason, you sound like you're a robot.
Really? Wonder what the deal is.
I don't know what's going on, but I can't hardly hear you. You're kind of pinging in and out. So,
if you can hear me, go ahead and give your number out. Somebody wants to give you a call about coming up and fishing with you, man.
All right, I heard counterpart of that. But anyway, if anybody wants to go fishing, they can give me a holler at 936-661-7920. Find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, Richard. Good talking to you. You have a good day, buddy. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with Captain Bink Grimes this morning, Sunrise Lodge. What's up, Bink?
Man, not too much. How are y'all doing this morning?
Oh, couldn't be better. It's all good. What's up with you?
Yeah, a little southeast wind. Not too
just
bad.
Just a little.
Yeah. We really need it. We need to pump some water back in these bays, you know?
I'm telling you. Well, that's been the hot topic the last few days. Low water, low tides.
Man, it just baffles you. Why? I mean, man, I don't know. I don't know. Yesterday,
well,
I thought
we came off that spring equinox and then the negative pull on the lows and then those westerlies like that with all that blow. It just, man, bad combination, bad timing.
And the thing is, I don't know if we really ever had the equinox. I mean, we had a day maybe.
But we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
it wasn't nothing like the fall equinox, you know, when we really get those good spring tides in the fall. But I don't know.
I don't either. I kind of wonder if that eclipse on Monday had something to do with as low as I've seen it in a very, very, very long time.
Well, true too.
Outside of winter, you know, outside of a northwest wind blowing at 30, you know, in the winter, I can't recall it being that low in April. I'm just scratching my head. I just can't. And I just wonder if that had something, you know, because we certainly know the moon affects the tides. We certainly know that.
Without a doubt. The gravitational pull on the earth.
Yes, yes. So I kind of wondered about that. I know the turkeys didn't respond too good to the eclipse Monday.
Did you go turkey hunting?
Yeah, I did. I had a few days off, and I sold a ranch down in South Texas about 2 months ago, and he allowed me to hunt the turkeys on it. So, man, down in Duval County, east of Freer a little bit, and man, I'm telling you, for 2 days, they did not do it. So, just
now,
one of those
things.
Did you
find any rattlesnakes?
No rattlesnakes.
Well, that's
no rattlesnakes.
Good.
A lot of deer, man. Oh, shoot. You know, but it's cool. You know, just wildlife everywhere. But, man, the turkeys just didn't want to. The ones I saw were all jakes. And I think a lot, wasn't a whole lot of gobbling going on either. I think a lot of those birds are henned up already, have done their thing, and they're not really looking for love a whole lot anymore.
No.
that part of Texas opens in the middle of March, and there's a reason they're hot and heavy in the middle of March. But when you're a fishing guide and a lodge owner and all that, you go when you can. The middle of March for us is getting it during spring break and stuff, so it's kind of hard to get down there and do that. But yesterday, man, I mean, just – you go out and it was like winter tides again. Golly. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. They had an incoming tide, and I had southeast blowing at about 15, and it was coming in. It just took it a long time to get there. We scratched and clawed for some reds and trout yesterday. In West Bay. The guys in East Bay, did really well. I kind of got a late start yesterday with my crew, but the early bite in East Bay was pretty good before the wind wind was, I don't know, 9 to 11 in the morning, then it kicked up, but it was streaky green, and, man, a lot of boats had really good days over there drifting yesterday. So that's encouraging news. East Bay's kind of had a two-week hiatus. It just hadn't, you know, hadn't been fishable with the changing of the winds and everything, and which is
right.
It's fine. We need to back off of it sometimes, you know. It doesn't hurt to give it rest. But
yeah, Charlie was telling me yesterday morning he went to West Bay Friday, and he caught a few reds, but he said that water was just so low. You know, you just had to park the boat out and wade in, you know. He said it was tough.
I mean, yes, I've never seen it this low in April. Just can't remember it, you know, for so long.
No, usually we're wading areas we normally don't wade because the water's so high in April, you know.
It's exactly right. You kind of, it's kind of tough even when you get when you get light winds in April, it's kind of tough to wade those mid-bay reefs in East Bay because, you got a foot and a half above normal tide, and we're still usually wearing waders at the time. I don't mind that during the summertime. We're wading chest deep, but, man, this time of year you get there and you fill them up, but, 68 to 71 degree water temp, still a little chilly.
Yeah, I'm not ready to pull mine off yet. It's I'm waiting for that 78 to 80 degree mark.
Yeah, and even yesterday, when you got a southeast wind blowing at 15 like it was yesterday, and the water temperature is 70.5. It's like an air conditioner blowing on you at 70 degrees, and it's still, man, just chilly. You didn't want to pull the jackets off and the jeans off till about 11:30.
No joke.
So, we're hoping to get some water back this week. It'll give us more field to play on. And I have a hard time believing it's not going to come up this week. With southeast forecasted all week, at least what I saw,
We're going to pull, some southerly flow for quite a few days now, and pretty strong winds. If that don't pump the water in, something's definitely wrong.
I know. But I don't know. We just go, man. we hope that's what happens, and we adjust when you get to the dock, They ask you, where are we going tomorrow? Man, I don't know till I get to the dock. I'm going to look at water levels.
You just got to go with what it gives
you. Can't do it.
I know. Yep. There's no planning ahead. Nobody has a legit pattern right now. No.
They call, what are you catching, Man, it's different every day. It's just the way it is. That's the game right now. And you better be able to adapt. But that's basically what's going on.
Well, it's very obvious that, we don't have the numbers of fish we once had.
Sure.
And we do in areas. Mm-hmm. But, it's the same old areas time in and time out. And when you pull these weather systems like this and you got areas that you can get out of the wind and get protection, you go to those and they're just like dead zones. You can't even get any bites. Tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And then to go to those, you got to have water. Sometimes in those
places, you got that to deal with too.
I fished stuff this week. A dead December, January pattern. Because there was no other. That's what it was. It was a winter pattern this week that I went to, some of those days, like Thursday is one of those tough days too, we scratched them out, but man, it's just, you said, man, what am I doing here in April?
Like James was saying yesterday, you got to work for them. If you want them, you got to work for them.
You do. You got to want them. That's for sure. You can't just show up and roll the ball out there and expect to win. Not that way anymore. You got to pull stuff out of your hat, out of your back pocket, and you got to call on experience from the last 25 years. You really do. And if it's not working, you got to go do something else and figure something else out. And just the game now. You can't sit still. That's for sure. You got to move and hustle. It's not gonna be given to you. That's for sure.
Well, is bookings and business holding up?
Yeah, the corporate stuff doesn't seem to be affected. The everyday guy is. We're seeing that. It just is. And that started, that started 18 months ago. And we started seeing that trickle-down effect from the inflation and just everyday life and groceries and everything. And that guy that saves it comes one, two to three times a year, he may be coming one time now. And just because it's
one time or no time, exactly.
Yeah, it just, I mean, and gas is back up, you know, or at, you know, we're at 3:15 down here, paying 4:20 or something at the dock, you know, and
right.
I mean, it's just, it's 24 months of it now, you know, or 30 months of it, just, you know, the economy just beating down on you, and you know, you can't go out to eat for less than $50. You can't, you know, you fill your car up. You, I mean, just, it's hitting home. The cows are coming home, you know, and
boy, they
just,
are.
It's not there. The cost of living just not.
How did they used to say the chickens are coming home to roost?
They're coming home to roost. I mean, it's life now, and man. That dollar just doesn't go like it used to.
No, it don't.
You keep printing it, you keep printing it, you keep printing it. It's not worth what it was worth when you just keep printing money and spending it. And that's another topic, but I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Well, how's your putting green going, chipping and putting around the lot?
Man, it's a lot of fun.
I saw those pictures of it. That's nice, man. I might just have to come down there and work on my short game.
It's a lot of fun. I've actually got turf around the pool too, so we got a water hazard too. So
we chip over the pool onto the putting green.
You can chip out off the pool into the And I do that.
I'll bring James because he'll put at least a dozen golf balls in that water. Man, I laughed at him. We played Bay Forest one time, a couple of times, but. He goes, I don't like this place. There's too much water on it. I don't know how many golf balls he went through. You know, it gets in some people's heads, man. I mean, there's water in front of you, but just look down at your ball and just hit it. You're going for the green.
Yeah.
But
he's on the water every day.
That thing in your head and you just top the ball and put it right in the water. I never laughed so hard in all my life. I had more fun that day playing golf with him than I have ever. I couldn't stop laughing.
And then we've got St. Mary's Slough that just runs right, I mean, just right on the borders of my lodge there. So you got that little water hazard too. But I don't do a whole lot of chipping with people around there because I don't want to encourage them to put one in somebody's window or anything.
Yeah,
so I just kind of do it myself. But, but yeah, they've enjoyed it. Haven't been a whole lot of pool action yet because
it's still cold,
a little chilly.
But man,
people are going to – I've got another rental down there with the same deal in the middle of town with a pool and a putting green, and it's a – Man, people come off the water fishing, and you'll see 10 people in there in the summertime. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a whole lot of fun. But
what's wrong with your old Astros this year? No pitching. Hey, it's real simple. I mean, hey, we're missing five of our starting pitchers, and everybody's freaking out and panicking, going, "Man, they're a bunch of bums." They're really not. Still one of the best ball clubs in the league, you know.
Yep. You know,
they showed
that
yesterday.
They did, and I was watching it yesterday, actually watching it from the pool yesterday, and in the seventh inning when the Brave was in there with bases juiced,
but he got out of there with no runs. How about that?
I told my wife, I said, this might be the difference in a season if he gives it up here, it's like, oh, man, but if he stops him right here, it's like, man, we still got a shot. And, man, he shoved it up their tail and come back.
He added life to the team
because,
man, they came out the next inning, and, buddy, they score seven runs in the bottom of the seventh. Yep. So
the degree of separation in the Major League Baseball is so fine.
Yes.
And it just is, man. It just is. And stuff like that. It just is. You got to get Bregman.
I was getting texts from Charlie during the game, and our two favorite players, Singleton and Abreu, man, we just cracked up laughing when he'd send me, well, you can forget this. It's like when Singleton came up with the bases loaded and then grounded out. And, oh, Charlie, here he comes on the text. Just, it was hilarious.
That just shows you the business side of it. Yeah. It's hard to – they got so much money in that contract with Abreu, and, it doesn't work out right now, but eventually it'll have to. Yeah, it'll.
Yeah, something's going to have to give. I mean, that, you know, you can't wait forever.
That kid in AAA is busting it. Old Joey Lapertito.
Lapertito.
Yeah, he's an outfielder, first base.
Well,
type
didn't
dude.
Jordan used to play first base in the minors?
That's exactly right.
That's where I'd have him. He's a big target. Plus, man, he could have a career-ending injury out there in the outfield, slam into the wall or dive for a ball and, you know, mess his shoulder up or whatever. And that's where I'd have him.
Yeah.
Getting ready for that. But you got time to talk some more? I need to take a break. Okay with – all right, I'll come back to you. Hang on, Bink. I'll be right back, man. All right, you're listening to the Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 640 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. All right, Bink, we're back. Is Bink there? We're back, Bink. Well, I can't hear him. I don't know what's up with that.
I'm sorry. Somehow I
okay,
hit you.
All right.
How that happened, I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought we had gremlins again. You never know.
My apologies.
Oh, well. But anyway. You know, you and I had a lot in common. We liked duck hunting and fishing, and we played ball most of our life growing up. What position did you play?
Man, I was a first baseman and catcher.
Were you?
I got drafted by the Yankees out of high school as a first baseman, but they told me really the route. If you wanted to get there a little quicker, was catching. So, I caught some in high school because I had two. Our catcher got hurt, but I didn't end up signing. I ended up going to Sam and playing for 2 years at Sam. Then I transferred.
Oh, I thought you went to Blend.
No. I played my first 2 years at Sam Houston, and then and I played my junior and senior season at East Texas Baptist and Marshall, and then I signed a pro contract after that and played for a couple of years. Played up in the Midwest, and then got hurt.
I have no idea how hard it is to get to the major leagues. I mean, it's one out of a million out of Little League will make it, you know.
You know, and even you talk, you know, you get frustrated with guys like Abreu or Singleton right now, but let me just tell you how good you really got to be,
yeah.
Just to be on a big league roster, just to be on a double A or triple A roster, man. I mean, like I said a while ago, there's not much difference in the degree of separation. It's you get your shot and you make the most of your shot, and the rest is history. Some people never get their shot.
No.
You know, they sit down there and they don't
wait forever to be called up, and it never happens.
And something happens, somebody gets hurt, boom, like this week when they brought those kids up from AAA, you know, I mean,
those pitchers,
you know, it was a last minute. Yeah, last
they're
minute.
They're shell shocked.
Yeah.
So you know, welcome to the major leagues. Boom.
It's different. Yeah.
There's a whole the degree. I mean, look at Verlander pitched a practice game the other day, you know, down in Sugar Land. And, I mean, they got him for six runs and seven hits. And
I'm telling you.
It's kind of like going from the Corn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour. You know, those guys, they've got the skills. And it's once you get your shot, you got to capitalize quick or you're gone. I mean, it's just got to come together for you. It's a tiny window. It's crazy.
Tiny, tiny window. That's right. But, yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, you can call them bums or whatever you want to, but you just really don't know.
No, if you're in the big league, you're really not a bum.
No. What kind of elite athletes they are. It's pretty crazy. And you never know. You can't convince anybody unless they've seen it firsthand. I mean, it's one of the hardest things to do. I mean, hit a little bit, you know, a 5-ounce piece of cowhide coming at you. And, you know, everybody, you know, when I was playing, you know, if a guy threw 95, you know, there was only probably 10 or 12 guys doing that. Now, man, everybody coming out of the pen, everybody is, you know, their fastballs at 99, you know, is at 95 or up, you know, and, you know, Greg Maddux won forever and very rarely touched 90. Tom Glavine, back in those days, very rarely touched 90, you know.
Oh, exactly. Look at Bob Knepper, the games, career he had. And I mean, you had to wait 2 days for his curveball to get to you. They still couldn't hit him. They'd bring him in there behind Nolan Ryan. One night Nolan, next night Knepper.
And then Necro throwing the knuckleball, you know.
Oh, Nuxie with the fingernail file in his back pocket. How about that? That was hilarious. I was watching that game when that happened. He threw it out like nobody's going to see it hit the ground.
Yeah, he was with the Twins then, I think, wasn't he? Yeah. I think he was with the Twins back then. Yeah, so that game's changed. It's changed a whole lot since it just has, you know. Kids are stronger. Kids are, I mean.
Well, the hitters are so big time now. I mean, hey.
Yep.
And it's ruining the pitcher's arms because they're having to put the spin rate on the ball is just twice what it used to be to get their movement they need to beat these batters. And it's trashing their arms, man.
No, you're right. I mean,
it's
the
like throwing a curveball every pitch. I mean, your elbow can't withstand that.
Yeah, that anatomically that arm was not made. It really wasn't made to throw in the overhand motion. The natural motion is underhand for the way your body's built. And,
right.
It just is. And how many times do you see softball pitchers have arm problems?
You know? Never. Never.
Even the fast pitch pro league, you know.
Yeah, I had an uncle that was a fast pitch pitcher for 40 years. Never had arm trouble.
It just wasn't anatomically made. Biomechanics wasn't made for that. But, you know, that spin rate stuff is at, you know, you in this game that I have a different opinion on. So I still think the game is still simple, and I think analytics has taken just the simplicity out of it. Where, you know, it's kind of like the Astros. I get so upset. You get to the 10th inning, you put somebody on second base. Man, move that guy to third with one out, and get you a fly ball, get you a sacrifice fly, hit something to the right side, and score that run and play those percentages instead of starting out at second base and just trying to get a base. Yeah, small
put
ball
a
worked
down
forever,
the first baseline
does.
Or something, you know, or
it's
down still, either baseline. It doesn't matter. Just get a bunt down and get that guy over with one out and then hope somebody can hit a fly ball. But how many times we've seen a guy on third with no outs and never get in?
Yep.
Can't hit a fly ball.
We used to work on that so much.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, that was part of the drills.
You know, Augie Garrido made a living with that forever. With, you know, and that still works. I mean, it still works. You can say analytics.
Everybody's
this
into the
and that.
Hit and the power now, man.
Yeah.
Let's, you know,
sales tickets,
walk-off
you know.
Mentality. Let's jack it out.
Yeah, it is. Beating your chest and all that, man. They think it sells more tickets, but I think winning sells more tickets than anything.
Yeah, winning definitely sells tickets. Yeah.
It's just it, old school of thinking. It's kind of our way we think about fishing compared to the young sports of today that are out on the.
Well, look how we've complicated fishing these days. I mean, it's not rocket science.
It's really not. It's really not.
The main ingredient for fishing is you got to be on fish to catch fish.
Yes, got to be on fish, got to have fish. That's right.
And it's pretty simple. I mean, anybody can catch them if they're on them. And we try to complicate it with all these, you know, everybody's just, you know, they just carry it too far. Just put your boat in and go. Just go.
Yeah, get wet and go.
You know, the biggest part of fishing is finding them and knowing what to look for. If you can read the water, you don't need all these electronics and all, not for what we do.
No, I'm with you.
Just go read the water and do what you know, follow your nose and your eyes and your instincts.
Well, that's the problem. You can get everything so fast now. You can get any kind of information you want on an app. You can, you know, you can order a sandwich and have it delivered to you on an app. You can do all that. And people want to order up fish on an app, you know, and there's just some things that are not made for that.
No.
And when people can't get it fast and quick, you know, it's just like bookings, what we're talking about. Man, if you don't answer the phone on the water they will book somebody else and don't care, don't know. They're just trying to get it done so they can go to something else. So
now,
if you're
booking
the phone,
a real guide and you call him and he doesn't answer,
right,
it's because he's working.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
On the water, and then he'll call you when he gets in. But a lot of people are too impatient for that.
I'll give them 10 seconds. I'll answer the phone. Hey, I can take care of you when I get off the water. I will call you, but I will take care of you. Okay, no problem. And, you know, but if you don't answer the phone, he's going to hit three or four more or answer a text real quick. They're just going to go on down the line, you know, and they're flipping a coin. You know, like I said, that they don't know, you know, who they're getting. They just want to get it done and move on to the next.
Well, and everybody shops on social media now to find the hottest guide and all that. Well, you know, these guides, I'd like to see these bad reports, you know, the days they don't catch them. They never put that up there. It's always their, you know, best catch or their best picture. They keep, you know, running it through the ringer. And somebody will book them thinking this guy's really legit, but then, boy, I just drew a bad horse at Churchill Downs.
Yeah. I'm torn between social media. I don't post a whole lot. I don't think my customers are on.
I wouldn't even
sometimes
have Facebook or anything anymore if it wasn't for the Early Morning Sicko page for the show.
Mm-hmm. Guys that are trolling, you know, I feel like the guys that are trolling Facebook all the time are not the workers in this world, because you don't have time. I mean, I know me, man. If I'm trying to produce and trying to take care of stuff, man, I ain't got time to jack.
I don't
that
have.
Kind of
that's
stuff.
Right. And if you're really into what you're doing and working hard, you don't have time for that mess.
And those are the guys that have the disposable income to do, you know, to fish and to hire a charter to do that. And those guys to have that disposable income, they're getting it. And they're not sitting on Facebook looking and seeing who's this and who's that, who's catching what. And I told a lot of our guys, man, you know, when we finally decided, hey, this is not good for our sport, we got to quit posting all these dead fish pictures.
People clown on that now.
I was naive to how many other guides, the younger ones and some of the were really watching what we were doing, and not so much they would see it and they know where they saw you that day, and then they'd figure out
exactly.
Good Lord, he got them today. And then they'd, you know, and now they don't know whether you caught them or not, because we don't post that, and half the time we don't keep trout anyway. I've had so many 25 and 30 fish days that nobody even knew about, you know,
right.
And good days, and we didn't keep a fish. And, And guess what? There was nobody knocking on your door the next morning. Either.
Well, I'll tell you, I may be old school, but I see what's going on, and still the best communication, best business is word of mouth.
Sure it is.
You satisfy people and make them happy, they're going to tell their friends, too. Said, hey, somebody go, man, I want to go saltwater fishing. What's a good guide? And if they refer you, then, you know, there you go.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly. That's in this industry. It's in my real estate business. It's the same way when you handle people that way. And you're exactly right. We've said it forever. It still works, man. Treating people right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Sure is. Sure is.
No tire kicking. Tire kickers need not apply. Shopping or you want to go fishing, buddy? And, you know, everybody's shopping price now, too, with the state of the economy and everything. And they're just,
I understand
get what
that,
you pay for. You know, you want a world-class guide, you're going to have to pay for it. If you just want to go out and maybe not get them or just go with somebody that's really not that good, take the cheap route.
And we get that every once in a while, and I have to tell them, look, this is how we do it. And I'm sure there's somebody cheaper, but I mean, you know, we're running $120,000 boats. We're paying $420 at the pump for gas at the dock. You know, this is what it costs, and this is quality. We run veteran guides. We don't run young kids. And there's some great young kids out there, but there's some that need more time to learn how to treat customers, to learn how to do things, and our you know, no, we're not perfect by any means, but
no,
I don't have to worry. My guides, we're not going to catch them every day, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to catch them every day, but I can tell you this much: they're going to work hard and they're going to be prepared. They're going to have a clean boat. They're going to show up on time.
Well, they're knowledgeable and they know what they're doing and they're safe and everything. Mm-hmm. I got you. All right, Bink. Well, hey, I appreciate all the good conversation today. If somebody wants to come down and stay in your lodge and book a fishing trip and all that, how they get a hold of you? Give them some info, bud.
Yeah, we're MatagorToSunriseLodge.com. You can check us out there. Occasionally, like I said, we post occasionally on Instagram or Facebook. 979-241-1705. Vacation rentals, whatever. We can sell you some real estate, too. But show you a good time. It's pretty cool down here.
I know it is. All right, buddy. Bink, always fun talking to you, man. You have a good Sunday. Take care.
All right. Y'all take it easy.
Uh-huh. All right, Bink. Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning next week, bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.